This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 19th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Rob Cantor will have this week's edition of the Environmental Almanac, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. Authorities have declared a state of emergency in the southern Indiana town of Napanee after an apparent tornado hit there late last night. Police say several people have been transported to area hospitals with minor injuries. A strong line of thunderstorms moved through Indiana last night. Napanee Police Chief Mike Anglin says the entire city of about 6,700, about 20 miles southeast of South Bend, is without power. Numerous gas leaks have been reported. The Red Cross has set up a shelter in a church. Emergency management officials in Fulton County say several spotters saw funnel clouds in the southern part of the county. Hail was reported in counties in northern, central, and southern Indiana. Officials in Pulaski County say golf ball-sized hail damaged a car. The Faculty Senate at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville has passed a resolution asking for the system's embattled president to resign over plagiarism claims. The 45-5 vote was at odds with a separate conclusion last week by a 7-member faculty review panel in Carbondale. That panel found that Glenn Pichard's 1984 doctoral dissertation included inadvertent or unintended plagiarism that could be easily remedied without costing him his job. But a kinesiology professor at SIUE says they're hoping Pichard will resign. The university's board of trustees said last week that Pichard would stay put. The trustees agreed with Pichard and the smaller panel's conclusion that he made honest mistakes that reflected citation styles decades ago. Kirk Diedrich's tenure as Champaign County Supervisor of Assessments led to his stormy departure from the post a few months ago. Now county board members are hoping for smoother sailing with Stan Jenkins in the post that coordinates property tax assessments. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Diedrich's appointment had been pushed through by county board Democrats eager to get one of their own into a job long held by Republicans. But after county board support for Diedrich collapsed and he was forced out earlier this year, many Democrats were less concerned about party affiliation. And Stan Jenkins, a Republican and longtime county board of review chairman, said he wanted to get along with both parties.
I know there may be some folks that cannot support my appointment. I understand that as part of the process. I do hope that over time I can earn your trust and your confidence and your respect.
Still, four Democrats voted against Jenkins' appointment. One of them, Diedrich supporter Michael Richard, says Jenkins is too closely connected with the political infighting around the Supervisor of Assessments office.
My problem with Stan Jenkins is not that he's a Republican, but that he is currently on the Board of Review, and he's a member of the Champaign County Assessment Community that was so vocally trying to get Kurt Diedrich removed midterm.
County Board Chairman Pius Weibel said Jenkins did not seek to oust Diedrich, but had tried to work with him. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A legislative committee convened at the Illinois Capitol yesterday to discuss the merits of a statewide infrastructure program. Amanda Vinicky has that story.
The secretary of the Illinois Department of Transportation, the head of the Chicago Transit Authority, a construction workers union, and local officials representing different regions of the state all testified about the importance of the state funding a massive construction program. Here's Thomas Kasson, an engineer for Menard County. He says the county's closed some of its bridges, others...
In our county alone, 10% of our bridges are posted 15 ton or less. What that means is 15 ton or less, you can't even take a school bus across.
Kasson says many other rural counties also need that money to fix their bridges, roads, and to build or repair schools. While that may sound surprising to some people, it isn't news to lawmakers. They've been hearing those concerns for years. It's not that they don't realize it's a problem, but legislators and the governor can't agree on how to come up with the billions of dollars to pay for it. That aspect was not touched on during the hearing. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A June house fire that claimed the lives of a Champaign man and two stepchildren has been called an accident. The Champaign County Coroner's jury yesterday ruled that poorly discarded smoking material was to blame for the June 21st evening fire in southwest Champaign. 30-year-old Tom Keaton, 13-year-old Kaylin Taylor, and 5-year-old Robert Taylor died in the blaze, while a fourth family member survived. The fire began on the home's back porch and spread to its bedrooms. Interviews by Champaign's fire and police departments revealed that the family had frequently taken the batteries out of their smoke alarm when cooking and put them back in later at night. City fire investigator John Hawking says they'd apparently forgotten to put the batteries back in that evening.
This fire was not consistent with a fatal fire. people should not have died in this fire. If the smoke detectors were working, they would have gotten enough notice to get out, we believe.
The coroner's jury recommended that legislation be enacted to place hardwired smoke detectors in all homes. Such alarms have a continuous power source and would only use batteries as a backup for when power goes out. The fire investigation centered around the home's back porch where Keaton had been smoking that evening. An ashtray he reportedly used could not be found, and a futon on that porch sustained some of the most severe damage. Authorities have identified a 40-year-old feed company worker who died Wednesday after falling into a Decatur grain bin. Donald Eugene McIver of Iliopolis suffocated after becoming totally immersed in the cattle feed. McIver was removing grain from the bin when he fell. It took rescue workers several hours to retrieve the body from hundreds of bushels of seed. Illinois' unemployment rate fell to 5.1% in September, the lowest rate reported since June. State and federal officials say Illinois had 17,800 fewer unemployed people last month. And September's unemployment rate was down slightly from 5.4% in August. Government and education and health care services were the growth sectors in September. Government added 6,400 jobs, while education and health care added 2,000. Illinois employers have added 43,600 new jobs this year overall, and the state says Illinois has added 185,300 jobs since January 2004. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Yesterday, the Clean Water Act turned 35. Will Rob Cantor say congratulations on a job well done? We'll find out on this week's Environmental Almanac.
Today, the Clean Water Act, often heralded as one of the most effective sets of environmental laws ever enacted, turns 35. I'd like to report that in the 35 years since passage of the act, all of the waters of the United States have become fishable and swimmable. I say I'd like to report that, but I can't. Today, more than 45% of rivers and lakes in the U.S. remain too polluted for people to safely fish in them, swim in them, or take their drinking water from them. I suspect many people are actually comfortable with this state of affairs because they can remember when things were even worse. Point source pollution, ugly stuff running out of pipes, has been greatly reduced thanks to the permitting system instituted by the Clean Water Act. And we haven't witnessed anything as dramatic as the Cuyahoga River burning in recent years. But the Clean Water Act doesn't prompt us to ask whether we can see pollution flowing out of pipes, or whether our waters are so degraded they'll catch fire. It prompts us to ask, can I fish there, and can I swim there? Further progress toward the ultimate goals of the Clean Water Act is possible, but it won't be easy. In part, that's because progress toward cleaner water will require that we come together to reduce non-point source pollution. That includes the nutrients and pesticides that run off of farm fields, lawns, and golf courses, as well as the oil, antifreeze, and other contaminants picked up by rainwater as it flows over pavement. Progress toward cleaner water has also been hampered in Washington in recent years. Rulings by the U.S. Supreme Court and subsequent administrative activities by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers have served to exclude certain wetlands and smaller, sometimes intermittent, streams from the protections afforded by the Clean Water Act. If you measure the streams of Illinois in miles, more than half of them are small enough to now be at risk of losing Clean Water Act protections. Also vulnerable are some 150,000 acres of Illinois wetlands, which could now be considered isolated and thereby outside of Clean Water Act safeguards. I don't claim expertise in the legal arguments at play here, but I do understand that big rivers result from lots of smaller streams coming together, and that you can't expect to have clean water in the Mississippi unless you also have clean water in the Illinois and the Wabash and the Ohio and the thousands of smaller waterways from which these rivers arise. 35 years after passage of the original Clean Water Act, Congress has returned to this crucial issue. A bill introduced this summer, called the Clean Water Restoration Act, would, according to supporters, reaffirm the original intent of the 1972 law, which was to protect all waters of the United States. Their hope, which I share, is that the Clean Water Restoration Act will make it possible to move forward again to turn the promise of clean water into a reality.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or listen to it again, follow the links on our website, wiol.illinois.edu, and you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the University of Illinois Office of Urban and Regional Planning. And East Central Illinois' forecast for this weekend. Expect mostly cloudy skies today with scattered sprinkles in the morning, the high around 65. West winds up to 30 miles per hour, partly cloudy tonight, the low in the mid-40s. Sunny skies tomorrow with a high of 75, mostly clear tomorrow evening, the low around 52. Sunny skies on Sunday, the high around 80. For Sunday evening, partly cloudy skies, the low around 52. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, October 19th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.